Okay, we're up to Perek Zayin. Divrei Hayomim, Aleph Perek Zayin. Perek Zayin resumes the Yichus of Klal Yisrael. We start out with Yehuda, we then went to Shimon, we went to Levi, and we went through a couple of Shvatim, then we got sidetracked. When we went through Levi, we started describing all of the Kohanim and all of their numbers. And now we return to our objective to be Miyaches Klal Yisrael. And the next Shevet on the list is Shevet Yisachar. Okay, there is a discussion as why do we go to Yisachar? That's Pasuk Zayin, Levnei Yisachar, Toila Ufua, Yashuv Vishimroin Arba. There are four children of Yisachar. Okay, the big question here is, why is Yisachar next on the list? Yisachar seemingly is not, okay, I don't have all the details in front of me, but Yisachar, according to the various listings of order of birth and order of numbers and the various calculations, the various reasons why, obvious reasons you would want to order the Shvatim, you would not put Yisachar after Levi. We don't find that in the Torah, that listed in that order. Okay, again, I don't know the exact details, so you'll come across different listings in the Torah, in by Midbar, and in the birth, and in the brachos of Yaakov, and of Moshe Rabbeinu, you'll find that Yisachar doesn't really follow after Levi. So why now is Yisachar appearing here? So the answer seems to be, the common answer given, this answer given by the Das Seferim, is that the objective, since we just listed Levi, and Levi are the spiritual leaders of Klal Yisrael, the heavyweights spiritually in Klal Yisrael, in that they were from Shev Levi came the Kohanim, and from Shev Levi came all of the singers, what we call the Levium, the three different clay codes. So now we're going to focus on Yisachar, who also devoted their lives to the study of Torah. They were the ones who devoted themselves to learning Torah. Happens to be also very, very mighty warriors that we're going to see over here. They were very strong people. They say today in Eretz Yisrael, the best soldiers, the best soldiers are the religious soldiers. They are a very high percentage of Yisachar and Zevulun. Right? Yisachar would devote themselves to learn, and Zevulun would support them. So Yisachar with the clay kodesh, as you mentioned, therefore that's why they are connected here in this context next to Shevet Levi. This is the approach of the Das Sofrim, and it makes sense. There's something definitely to it. What? Rashi says that? Rashi Lubchumish Ksiv the Yov. No, he's going on a different reason. Rashi there is referring to the Yov. Okay, Rashi is focusing on another issue. Here are four children of Yisachar listed. The fourth one is Yov. So why here in Divrei Hayamim is it written Yoshuv? Mm-hmm. Okay, there's a base and there's a Yud. Okay, it's a little bit strange. It should be Yov. What? Shov with the base.
Only one time does it say, and later on it calls him Yashuv.
Okay, so we do find that it was a precedent for this to change from Yov. His real name is Yov with a Vav, and then he got an extra base. So there are different reasons given. One is because he sat, Rashi says, this Medrash. Nisyashva Leshev the Torah wanted to sit and learn. I mean, this is a very strange expression, to sit and learn. Where does it come from? You learn. What do you mean you sit? So it comes from Ashrei Yoshve Vesecha Od Yehalavucha Sela, to sit in your house. So then the question goes a step back. You go back to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu was Yoshev Oholim, the base medrash of Shem and the base medrash of Eder. So the question goes back. So why is Yaakov Avinu called someone who sits in the various tents? Why does David HaMelech say Ashrei Yoshvei Veitzecha? So the answer, there are different areas given. One is because just being in an environment of Torah itself has an effect. Chazal said that if a person, the Yetzer Hara is starting up with you, so you should moshchein lebeis hamedrash. You shall draw the Yetzer Hara to the base. It doesn't say anywhere that you should sit and learn. That's not for everyone. Learning is not so easy. You have to be in a Baal Madrega to be able to have Yishev Adas and learn. If you're in trouble, the Yetzirah is coming to attack, just go hang out. If you hang out in the Beis Medrash, then you'll be in a good environment, you'll be protected from danger. That's a very true. I heard one of the Gedolei Hadar said about that years ago, that there were certain types of boys in the yeshiva, and they were not learning at all, and they were trouble. And the administration wanted to throw them out. Now, this was years ago. You know, everything changes, and there were any yeshivas. Those days, there weren't so many yeshivas. So the Rosh Yeshiva did not allow, or they asked different people, they did not allow them to be removed from the yeshiva, because if you can throw them out of yeshiva, where are they going to hang out? Mm-hmm. They need a place to hang out. It's a club. You need a place to hang out. It's better they should hang out in the yeshiva. At least they won't do things as terrible as what they would do if they were hanging out on the streets.
But
the problem is they're going to be mashpia on the other boys. It's going to ruin the quality of the other boys. So you have to have a balance. That's right. There are levels of how much you can let them influence the other boys. There is definitely some truth to this. It's just to be a yoyshev oyholim. Not necessarily do you have to learn. It's a good place to hang out. And that's what it says here about Yashuv. Yisachar is called Yashuv. Yashuv, Lashon of Shev, to sit. Or Nisyashva, to be settled. Same idea, to be settled in an environment of learning Torah. That's why he was given the extra letter Beit. There's another reason he gave my Chazal as a Medrash. We know that in the Nisim, at the time of the Mishkan, the Chanukah Samishkan, they gave a very unique donation, 12, 6 wagons, and 12 bokar. 12 bokar to lead 6 wagons. This was the gift of the Nisim. Now to us, you say, what's the big deal? I mean, there was so much money and wood and the materials that were supplied for the Mishkan. But this appears to have been a very special gift. We're not familiar with the details, the significance of this gift. Who was the one that suggested that the Nisim should donate these 6 wagons and 12 bokar? It was Yov. Yov, the son of Yisachar. He came up with this brilliant idea. He suggested this to the Nisim. They listened, and they provided this caravan. And in reward for doing so, he was given another letter to his name of Yashuv, which means Yashuv Eitzah. Yashuv, the word Yashuv is used in Chazal to refer to counsel. I'm not exactly sure why. This is what it says in the Medrash. Shoel u'meishiv. You ask and they reply. Okay, I hear what you're saying. It's a response. It's a position today, right? It's a entry level. Entry level position. Shoel u'meishiv. So, if you'll get a shiha, if you'll get a shiha. Shoel u'meishiv. You have to be well connected, married to the right person, and have the right person paying your salary. Then maybe you'll get a shear. Not even. And if you get a shear, what's the shear? Right, don't get me started. But the point over here is Yashuv. What? I didn't say. I take it back. Chas for shalom. To learn Torah and to teach Torah is a schus. I take everything I said back. Take everything back. Yashuv Eitzah. There's such a concept of counsel, and it goes in line with the word Yashuv. So let's review. We have here Shevet Yisachar. Well, what have we learned? Shevet Yisachar, it's peculiar why he's been joined to Shevet Levi. Answer is Torah. Yoidei Itim, he was a Talmud Chacham. His role was similar to the role of Levi, therefore they grouped together. Why here is one of the children of Yisachar called Yashuv, not Yov? Two reasons. Because he was the one, they learned, Rashi says, they decided to sit and learn. Nisyashva, they decided. Shev is to sit, but it also means they came to the conclusion that it would be the best thing for them to sit and learn. Or because of this idea that they recommend to the Nisim to donate the wagons and the Bokar, they were blessed and given another letter to represent that idea that Yashuv ate. So let's see Rashi inside right away.
That's their role anyway. I mean,
it wasn't necessarily their role. They chose that should be their role. They had a certain liking to it. the other language. Let's see Aleph. Pasuk Amar Ashi Vle Yisachar Tolo Pua Yoshua V'Shimron, the four names. B'chumash K'siv V'Yov. So what's going on over here? By the way, notice that Rashi is B'chumash in Chumash. That's a very interesting term to define. It's a Chumash Bereishis. Here Rashi is Chumash. We're going to see later on. There's a Rashi which calls Chumash Bereishis Sefer Hayosha. We know there are three different opinions. What is Sefer Hayosha? Shaftim or Bereishis or Chumash Tavarim. And Rashi, in a few lines, are going to call Chumash Bereishis Sefer Hayosha. But here he's calling it Chumash, calling it Chumash Bereishis. He's not calling it Sefer Hayosha. He's calling it Chumash. B'chumash, Ksiv, V'yov, Yov, Hoyoshmo. Rashi? Well, first of all, this is not really Rashi. I think we it's pretty well accepted. This is not Rashi. This is a commentator, which is we do not know who he is. And the whole Nusach is very different than what we were familiar with. But even within this parish, there appears to be inconsistencies in his own parish, which could very well be that it was not necessarily composed by one person. It could be that this commentary was put together, updated or composed by a group of people. They collected information they had available to them at the time.
Might have said craw or something like
that. Right. Okay. You have to study an expert in analyzing Rashi's style. Now listen, Rashi lived a long life. I mean, relatively speaking, for the time. So yeah, Rashi was 65 years old. Right, he was 65 years old.
Yeah.
So Rashi over his lifetime, his style changed. Like the same with the Chofetz Chaim. There are many contradictions we have at Chofetz Chaim in the Mishnah Berurah and contradictions in his lifestyle. Edus Chofetz Chaim lived to almost 100 years old, so it's not such a contradiction that he changed his custom over his life, a very active life. See, different things he did, different periods of time. So Rashi's style may have changed with time. Let's see here again the Rashi. The Chumash Ksev Yov Yov Hayashmo Lefish and Nisiyashvu Lilmo Torah. They made a conscious decision to learn Torah, to devote their lives to the study of Torah. Therefore, they were blessed with the Chsev Mibnei Yisachar Yodabina Le'itim L'kach Zocha V'nikra Yashuv. Very interesting expression, Zocha. It was a merit that an extra base was added to their name. You got a name change. Today it's a big craze to change your name. It's a big thing. Married to show a lot of people, they feel they don't have good enough mazel, they go for name changes. Not so simple to do that, but here the pasuk, which was written up in Ruach HaKodesh, giving them an extra letter. Okay, let's go to. Okay, and then I told you the Medrash here quotes the Medrash also. V'lo mikra shmo Yashuv sheheshiv eitzel l'shvatim la'asos agolos. And it doesn't mean to the Shvatim, means it refers near to the Nesiim of the Shvatim. That's in the Sifrei Zuta. That's, you feel that Medrash?
Yeah.
Sifrei Zuta Piska Sifri. The Piska Zayin. Okay, let's go further. So let's see. L'vnei Yisachar Tolu Fuo Yashuv V'Shimon Arba. Four children. Base. Now we're going to go to the children one at a time. U'vnei Tolu. Who was the first? Not one time. We're only going to do the first child. We don't need a chart. It's very simple. There are four children. The first child had, who were his children? Uzi, Urifaya, Viriel, Viachmai, Viivsam, Ushmuel, six. Okay, six children. All of them were distinguished. Roshim, Levei, Savosam, they were leaders of their family. Lissolah, for the family of, so they're Roshim, Levei, Savosam, Lissolah. They were all leaders of this distinguished family, six heads. Giborei Chayil, warriors. Lissolidosam, according to their generations, meaning that all of their children were all, their descendants were all skilled in the art of warfare. What?
That's not what it means. Not if they're a Shevet.
No, so the commentators explain it means both. They were definitely Yodei Bitalitim, but Gibori Chayil, they go hand in hand. Ein Mikro Yotze Videb Shutoi. They were also, we also, because the Mispara be made David, because it's make, we have indications that they served here in this pasuk, and it could be other, I don't know the details, maybe we'll learn later on with the Rehayamim, that they served in high positions in the army of David. So that would indicate that they were very powerful, they were very mighty. And that's not a contradiction, because people will find that Avner, We find in Shmuel, the people that were big Talmidei Chachamim were very successful soldiers. Because their Yirah Shemayim, look at David HaMelech himself. David HaMelech. Mi lanu gadol mi David HaMelech. And he went out to do battle against Goliath with no armor. He took off the armor. He just himself in a slingshot. And he defeated. So they fight with the koyach of Torah, not necessarily with the koyach of physical power. Misparam bimei David Eshrim. Their number during the time of David was Eshrim Shnayim Elef was 22,000 of Sheshmios, 22,600. 22 is a very nice number for Yisachar because there are 22 letters in the Aleph base, right? There are 22 letters in the Aleph base. And that always fits well with the theme of learning and studying Torah, and that's all we know. Yisachar were Talmidei Chachamim. Okay, Pasuk Gimel Uvnei Uzi. Now we're going to the second generation. So you have Yisachar. Yisachar had four children. Going down to the third generation, Yisachar had four children. We focused on Tola, the first child. And from the first child, we had six children. The first child, first of David's four children, had six. Now let's focus on the Bechor, the grandson of Yisachar. Yisachar's oldest grandson. His oldest grandson was Uzi. Who were his children?
The other children.
Well, we don't always do that. We have this before in the previous parakim where we are very selective in who we choose to be miyaches, and that's what we're doing over here. We're not going to go back to the other ones. The other ones are not going to get any more mention. No, they're finished. So
the Malvin says, if no. Leaving out a couple of the shvatim also here. You see a couple of the shvatim.
Well, we're going to get to that. Some of these. So which shvatim?
It says over here makes a point of saying that Don.
Okay, we're going to come to that. We'll discuss that in great length. Don and there's one, the Zevulun is not mentioned at all. Don is mentioned, is hinted to, we can discuss at great length. Hushim ben Acher, coming up, hopefully we'll get there today. And Zevulun is completely left out. But if you read the Pesukim on a very simple level, there are two Shvatim that are not mentioned. Zevulun and Don are not traced, their lineage is not mentioned because Ezra did not have available, it appears, any documents that trace their lineage. There are a lot of interesting Rashis that we're going to come to, and there's a very good Malba I want to read with you, and a Radak. Let's go through one thing at a time. We're going to try to come through some of these very interesting ideas. But now we come to Uzi. Uzi is the oldest grandchild of Yisachar. Uzi, who are they? We have Yizrachya. Okay, that was his. So that's the great grandchild of Yisachar. And who is the great great grandchild? Uvnei Yizrachya, we have Michael, Veoivadya, Veoyel, Yeshia. How many are there in total? Chamisha, Rashim, Kulam. Total of five. Now, if you count the numbers, it's only four. It's Michael, Ovadya, Yoel, and Yeshia. Doesn't take much to add up those numbers. That's four. So why is it called five? The answer is the father was part of the team. That's unusual because usually when it counts numbers, it's very common, we have a list and then we give you a number. Here we're giving you a list and the number is one more than the list. And the answer that I think these psukim complement one another in that sometimes the father was also part of the team. The father, you know, you have a combat team, a SWAT team, and the father is the leader, and he actually goes into combat. So you have a grand total of five. And sometimes, no, you just have the father produce four wonderful children, and the father retired. He's at home. He's not able to participate. Here we have five. The father did participate. Let's run through some of the mitzudos right away. Pasuk Zayin, let's start from Pasuk Aleph. We're now going to discuss the Yichus. We are returning to the Yichus. We were sidetracked. Almost the entire Perek Vav got us sidetracked with discussing the leadership positions of Shevet Levi, the singers, and the Kohanim, and the Kohanim Gedolim, and so on and so forth. Next pasuk beis in the Mitzvot David, Roshim him hayu Roshim leves avayson the leaders l'tola levnei tola noldu gibor chayil l'chol toldosam. In other words, all of the children and the grandchildren, the great grandchildren, that from tola had the nature of being a warrior, gibor chayil, and all of his descendants followed in his success. The Alu Misparim, the pasuk concludes that the grand total of their family was Bimei David. Obviously, we're going down many generations from the time of Yisachar, at the time of Yaakov Avinu, his child and grandchild, going all the way down to the time of David. It's a very long time, and the grand total was 22,600. Pasuk Gimel, Chamisha. Then we go down to the great-grandchild. By the way, it's not necessarily the great-grandchild. It could be that it's the great-great-great-great-grandchild. We skip generations sometimes. Just because it says the son of so-and-so, it can very well mean the great-great-grandchildren. Chamisha, kol ha-chamisha hayu rashim. All five were heads. Ho'av, the father, including the arba, spun of his four sons. Okay, pasuk dalid. Let's go to Pasuk Dalet. Va'alehem lisolidosam levesavosam, and va'alehem together with them lisolidosam, including their children, their grandchildren, their great grandchildren, levesavosam, all of them tracing their lineage back to their fathers. These five people mentioned here, the children of Uzi, the family of Uzi with his four sons, they were all gidudei tzva. They were all battalions. A gedud, I think it's a good, is that a good translation, a battalion? Mm-hmm. They were gedudei tzva, they were battalions in the army. Milchama, tzva milchama?
No, I'm sorry.
Tzva milchama, a tzva, interesting that tzva does not automatically mean a war. We normally associate, a tzva to mean an army.
Standing army.
But that's not what it means. Tzva just means a group, called like the tzvaos, the hosts. All of the stars are called the tzva.
Right. So you have. We don't know what the word hosts means, at least in our usage. But they are, even the angels are in
groups.
Arranged.
Right. So, but the word tzva does not necessarily mean an army. We today, in our language, automatically, when we have the word tzva, automatically means an army, military, fighting. But that's not what it means. Tzva just means a group. So that's why in Tanakh, it's grouped together with the word milchama. Tzva, milchama. What was the grand Tawa?
Tzva Maron.
Right, in Tanakh, these are rabbinic terms, terms. But in today in Israel, you say the word tzva.
Of course.
So tzva just means an army. You don't have to say tzva milchama. It's pasha. Tzva means army. It's used today differently in modern Hebrew, even though it's not modern Hebrew, but it's lashon b'nei adam l'chud. In Tanakh, when you say tzva, it doesn't mean an army; it just means a group of
a large group
in order, an orderly group. So here in the pasuk, that's why it's tzva milchama. If you're writing this in modern terms, you wouldn't say the word milchama; it would be redundant. Tzva milchama shleish and shisha. Aleph, 36,000. Kihibu nashim avonim. Very interesting. This is a very big debate. Do people have in ancient times more than one wife? Cherim Rabbeinu Gershom, you're not allowed to have more than one wife.
That was 1,500 years later.
So the question is, what happened before Rabbeinu Gershom? Did people have more than one wife? This is discussed. The Gemara, you know, just because the Mishnah, you learn him Sechta Yivamis, and the man has 10 wives, and the Tzaros is the same, so you get the impression, oh yeah, the time of the Mishnah, the man had many wives. That's not necessarily so. I think there are very historical records that it was not accepted. Rabbeinu Gershom just came along and formally prohibited taking more than one wife, at least among Ashkenazim, at least among certain groups of people. But it wasn't a chiddush what Rabbeinu Gershom did. It was anyway unacceptable. He just said, if you'll do it, you'll get punished. There's a cherim. No one's going to do business with you. But it wasn't done. It's not min hanimus. It's not the right thing for a man to have more than one wife, because there's friction between the wives. And the man, not necessarily can you properly support more than one wife. So, historians, to date, check the earliest records, whatever you can dig up, even find for the Chazal, find all tshuvas, did men in ancient times, let's go back to different societies, go back to the time of Kibush Haaretz, did men have more than one wife? This pasuk makes it very clear that they did. That they did, at least during the time, ancient times before the time of David. Well, David was a king, so that's a little bit different. But this Shevet Yisachar, this particular family called Uzi, they had a number of 36,000, which seems to be astronomical based upon the times. And the pasuk addresses the issue by telling us the secret. They had more than one wife, and that's how they were able to add up to the pad, increase their numbers. Yeah.
It's also possible that during war times in ancient times,
yeah,
quite a few men were lost.
So there were women. It was a crisis.
Crisis.
Okay. So you had to go. Men had to take another wife in order to take care of them. There wasn't social services like there are today. So if a woman was not married, it was sakonis nefashos. Absolutely. And a chanami. So we don't know these things, but here, this is a pasuk. And it's a very critical pasuk that has to be added to the discussion of what happened in ancient times. Clear. Zerir shleish meshisha olef ki hirbu nashim banim. They had many wives. And that's how they had many children. Let's see the mitzudos David pasuk dalid. Pasuk dalid v'alehem v'imohem. Mitoludosam, the family of Uzi, including all of their children, Umibesavoisam, Anshe Gidub, and from and all the people that they trace back upwards to their fathers. I guess it refers to Uzi, Anshe Gidudim, men of battalions, Haru Uyim Lotse Spitzvo Hamulchamo, Hoyulam Evav, Alef Ki Hirbu Nashim, they had many wives, the Al Yide Ze Hirbu Banim. So what he's doing over here is, as soon as he's saying over here, he's saying Ubanim, you have to add a word, that Al Yide, by having many wives, Al Yide Ze, that's how they Hirbu Banim. That's a very interesting addition into the pasuk, which is critical to understand. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Va'achayhem l'chol mishpuchos yisachar. Now, besides these families, we've been very selective. We focused on the son, the four sons. Then we focused on the oldest, the Bukhar. He had six. We focused on the grandson, the oldest grandson, and his numbers. But besides the primary players of Sheshev Yisachar, Ya'acheihem, the other members of the family, L'chol Mishpuchos Yisachar, they were also Giborei Chayolim. They were also warriors. And by the way, Michal, it says in the previous pasuk, it says in pasuk Dalet, Gidudei Tzva Milchama. Okay, so it makes it very clear, it's Milchama. It's not just they were Talmidei Chachamim. Unless you'll tell me, Milchama means Milchamta Shel Torah.
That's what Chazal
usually means. Milchamta Shel Torah. Okay. But Ein Mikra Yotzen Deb Shuta means, besides being Gibari means learning Torah, they were also Gibari Milchama. And now we have also all of their other members of Shevi Yisachar, Gibari Chayolim, they were all warriors.
Yeah, usually you would say
Giborei Chayolim. Chayolim, it's plural. Giborei, aha, here, I don't know the answer. Okay, it's unusual, that's both plural. Giborei Chayolim, Shmainim V'Sheva, 87 Aleph, that is Puz, right? Really show you, that 87 is a very popular number in Jewish thought, because there's a Mishnah Berurah, it's a, Baruch Sh'amar has exactly 87 words. Roishai, it's a pasuk in Tehillim. Roishai, Hashem's kaviyachol on your head, and it is in the Shir Hashirim. Kesem Pas is the finest gold. Roishai Kesem Pas is in Shir Hashirim. That your head is the finest gold. Pas is gold. Roishai also refers to the beginning of Psukei Dezimra. Rosh. Rosh means the lead off section of Psukei Dezimra is Kesem, is gold. Pas. The words are 87. Beautiful words which add up to 87 pas. So here we have concerning Yisachar that besides the 36,000, no, the 86 I think is not, I'm not sure if it's a total, the grand total, Shmoinim v'Sheva, 87,000 elef, his yachsam lakol. Every single member of Sheva Yisachar had a yichus brief, a document which they can trace their yichus all the way back to their Yaakov Avinu. That's an amazing thing. What happened to all those documents? 87,000 documents. Where are they today? What has happened to these documents? Where are they buried? Have they been destroyed? Are they somewhere? Are they decayed? What happened to them? But that is what it says. It doesn't say this about the other Shvatim, that every single one has a Yichus brief. It indicates that the Talmidei Chachamim, Yisachar, they cherish. There's something to it. People, you know, people who are very involved in learning, they're always bragging about their Yichus. I once told you the joke when there were 10 Rebbes sitting around the table, and the area was bragging their head off. I'm an Einikel of this one. I'm Einikel of this one. I'm an Einikel. Then they come to the last one, and they say to him, Nu, who are you Einikel of? And he didn't have any Yichus. Nothing, zero. His father, so he says, listen, I don't know. My father was a simple man. He was a baker. That's what he did for a parnasa. He wasn't a Talmud Chacham. My father told me one yisoid, there's nothing like a fresh bagel. In other words, all of you, you're stale. You're all stale. I'm new yichus. It all starts.
At what point?
Yeah. Time of David. It appears that the time of David HaMelech. Even though Ezra, who is compiling this list, is now standing 500 years later, more than 500 years later, when he puts together this list, but he's taking a book that he found from 500 years ago, which lists the number 87,000 from the time of David HaMelech. Okay, we're going to come to a very interesting Rashi soon. Hopefully soon we'll elaborate upon that point. But they are start Yichus brief. Let's see the Mitzudos, Pasik He, L'chol Mishpachos. Yeah, it was. The time of David. Population growth, absolutely. At the time of David HaMelech, Klal Yisrael was doing pretty good. And when it came to the time of Shlomo, Ish Tachas Kafnoi, Tachas Tenosoi, that was the prime of Klal Yisrael. Yeah.
I just want to go back for 1 second to the idea of scholar warrior.
Yeah.
I think probably Tengal kept pushing the scholar over the warrior because they didn't feel right about warriors being heroes as opposed to scholars.
Okay, that a lot of that took place during the Bar Kokhba.
Right.
The Tanoim, Rabbi Akiva, that was fresh in their minds. The Churban Bayis Sheni, the Tanoim, the Amoraim, they lived and breathed what happened during the time of the Bayis Sheni, and everyone was part of the army. Everyone had a fight in those days, and especially the Bar Kokhba rebellion. And Rabbi Akiva said that the general Bar Kokhba, he was Melech HaMashiach. So they obviously. They obviously lived in a different frame of mind than today. Today, don't elaborate.
It would be the Rabbanim would do the same thing today. They would de-emphasize the military hero and push for the scholar hero.
Okay, I don't know. It's hard to judge. You have to go back and live in their times to put yourself in their frame of mind.
Merrill One made a point of saying they broke the 3 weeks. They broke through into the Yerushalayim. I mean, they broke through into the Beis Hamikdash. It took them three weeks
to walk.
So it says that 3,000 Kohanim defended against them. It took 3 weeks for them to
beat
all the whole Roman army. It took them three weeks.
It's a 5 minute walk. It's a 5 minute walk.
They fought tooth and nail.
Right, yeah. But that's because they were professional soldiers.
No, but they.
We don't know that. Maybe they were professional soldiers. Maybe they were trained. We don't know that.
They would put their life on the line for 3 weeks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But then. Okay, let's go further. Everyone in total appears to be a grand total of 87,000. Let's see Rashi before we go to the next section. Rashi, we did the first Rashi. Let's do Rashi Pasuk Beis of Netola. Tola was the first of Yisachar's son. He was the Bechor of Yisachar. Mispar Mimei David, Esh Mishnaim, he makes it clear that the number during David was 20,000 and 600. Kol Elam Ibn Netola, Levad Ibn Uzi. So the number 22,600 is just the family of Tola. period. Uvnei Uzi, Shloishim Ushloish Vashisha, 36,000 Kihibu Nashim Babanim, Vichol Elo Hoyu Lavar Miosin Eshim Mishnayim. He explains, he clarifies, the 36,000 from the family of Uzi. Uzi was the grandchild of Yisachar. That's besides the family of Tola. V'chol Eilo Hayu Levad Me Oishon Eshem B'Shnayim Elef V'Sheshmeos Shel B'nei Tola. Okay, the pasuk Hey in Rashi V'Achehem and their brethren L'chol Mishpachos Bein B'nei Tola. Bein b'nei Uzi, bein kol gibori hachayolim shel David, shmoinim v'shiv olef. So the grand total, well now we come to this number 87, that includes the entire Shevet Yisachar. So it's confusing. 22,600 is just Tola, 36,000 is just Uzi, but now we give the grand total of 87,000, that is a total sum of everyone, the two families, plus everyone else. But it doesn't say the wives, it doesn't say women. Women and children don't count. In ancient times, they were not part of the census, right. Not like today. Different mindset, a different derech. A different derech. His yachsam lakol. Pisroin l'chol hayachas shalohem. Everyone had their yichus. Everyone had a brief. Everyone had a way to connect themselves, a document or record to connect themselves back to Yaakov Avinu. Okay, so that concludes this section. Now we go to the next part. Now the next part is very controversial. Very complicated. Binyamin. What's going on over here? Where did he come from? Out of nowhere? Now, I don't have a map. I was planning on making a photocopy. It's a very important thing. I'll bring it up eventually. Binyamin is part of Yehuda, right? So if we.
The Mikdash was on the border between.
The Mepharshim struggle very much to find logic in the first nine Parakim in why we are Miyaches, the Shvatim, in the order that they are arranged. Starting out with. Well, the first one is not so hard. Yehuda, because Yehuda, the whole Sefer Divrei Hayom, as we mentioned many times, is David. Okay, after Yehuda, so we understand, we go to Shimon, because Shimon is absorbed in Yehuda that we discussed. Then we put aside Yehuda and Shimon. Let's start from the oldest, the Bechor, Reuven. And then we went, the Shimon already did. Levi, Givaldik, we have to now go to Levi and the Miyaches, the Kohanim, the Levim, and so on and so forth. Then we just learn Yisachar. He doesn't fit, he's got a sore thumb, Yisachar, so we explain for that Sifrim, because Torah, because he had a similar role as Levi.
Fit in terms of order anyway.
Yeah, okay.
Yisachar comes number five, Yehudi.
Okay, so I take it back. So how come no one says, okay. But Binyamin appears to be really out of order. Okay, so let's just keep that in mind.
In the Chumash,
yeah.
Sometimes it's just
in birth order.
Everywhere else it says Uvnei
Yisachar. Okay, very good. It's a very good point. Okay, keep that in mind. Excellent point. It does not say Uvnei Binyamin. Excellent. Now, to make things more a little complex, we're going to have Binyamin in Perek Ches. And there we're going to have a very detailed accounting of Binyamin because we want to be Miyaches Shohul HaMelech. Shaul comes from Binyamin, and being that Divrei Hayam is all about David, Malchus, so it's a compliment to David to be Miyaches, the other Melech, the first Melech of Shaul HaMelech. So we're going to devote almost an entire chapter to the Yichus of Binyamin, a very detailed accounting, almost as detailed as Yehuda. So what is Binyamin doing over here? So we're going to have many approaches. Let's just read the first pasuk, Binyamin. Who are Binyamin's children? Bela, Vovecher, Vidiael, Shilosha. Exactly. Right. He named all ten after his brother Yosef. So what happened to the other seven? Especially when it emphasizes Shilosha. It's one thing if you just want to go say three, you want to go mention the others, okay. So we're not going to, with selective Yichus here in this Sefer. But you say Shilosha, it's like you're cutting off everyone else. So what happened to the other seven? Okay. Now, this you should know is a problem in Chumash, because in Chumash, when even though we have a mention of Binyamin in we have one listing in Shemos, I believe, as all ten.
Because
Only five. So there's a discrepancy. In the Chumash Bereishis, when we mentioned the 70 children who entered into Eretz Yisrael, into Mitzrayim, there were 70 souls who came down to Egypt. We have a list. It's in the Art School Chumash in the chart in the back. There are 10 sons of Binyamin. And then in Sefer Pinchas, when we're Miyaches, there are only five. What happened to them? So there's a Chazal. It's either a Medrash. I think Rashi brings it down. Rashi asked the question, if I'm not mistaken. They left early, and they went out. They made a calculation of when Mashiach, when the Zman is supposed to come, 400 years. They had a calculation. The time already came according to the calculation. They left early, and they were killed. They were decimated. They were wiped out. So there were only five left from the original five branches of the family did not exist, and that's why we only count five at Pinchas. We don't count the entire 10. Now the problem is some of those five that are not counted there in Sefer, I don't have all the details for you, so you got to trust me on this, which you should never do, but some of the five that are listed, that are missing in Bamidbar, in Chumash Bamidbar, are listed here in the next perek, in the Yichus of Shevet Binyamin. So they disappeared, and now they reappear. What's going on over here? And to make things worse, and over here in this parak, when we go list, we only list three. These are indeed his three sons. These are his name. These are three of the sons. So why are Bela, Uvechar, Vidal mentioned, and everyone else is not mentioned? So there are a lot of problems. Yeah. So to answer that question of what happened before, so there's a footnote in the Art Scrolls. They suggest, someone recently suggests, that it could be that when they went out to war, they went and they left Mitzrayim early. It doesn't mean that the entire Shevet was wiped off the map. It means the majority. And the remainder was not significant enough that they should be listed in Chumash Bamidbar. But eventually, at the time of David HaMelech, the few survivors reconstituted themselves and they increased the number. And now, during the time of David HaMelech, when this Sefer was put together, there was already a significant number of those other branches of the family that disappeared, that were worthy of being mentioned as a family in and of itself. And it could be that other parts of the family, their numbers diminished over the generations, and they were not significant to the degree where they deserve being mentioned as a family branch by itself, even though there must have been some survivors, some members in that line. Yeah.
You suggested the problem was they were the ma'afilim. Is that what you said?
I don't know the ma'afilim. Earlier. There's a medrash that when they were in Egypt, there was a period. They were from Bnei Ephraim.
They made a cheshbon of 400 years.
So that was Bnei Ephraim. That was Bnei Ephraim.
That's what I'm not sure, but that.
That was Ephraim.
The reason they got killed, one of the reasons was that they left without Atzmaus Yosef.
Okay, I don't know. Okay, but there is such a chazal that they left early, and there was a war. I don't know if it refers to that incident that you're referring to, the 400 years, they made a calculation, it could be there was another incident, but there is such a chazal. Okay, but let's put that aside. Now let me just lay out the facts, I'm going to read some things inside. But basically, there are two mahalchim in understanding this pasuk of Binyamin, with all the difficulties, all that we have, is many want to suggest, and we'll read the words inside from different commentators, is that Binyamin here is not Shevet Binyamin. Binyamin is one of the children or the descendants of Yisachar. Not a son. We first list his son, his grandson, his great-grandson, the major family. Grand total of 87. Now, Ezra, who had available to him different documents, found there was a branch of Shevet Yisachar that was headed by a very distinguished person, Binyamin. Exactly. Now the problem with that is that it's just too coincidental that this Binyamin has the same exact name. It's not necessarily a coincidence. I mean, think about it. If you want, my name is Binyamin, you want to trace your different Shevet. I'm from Shevet Yisachar. I want to imitate Shevet Binyamin. I'm going to name my children the same names as Binyamin. It's not so far-fetched. It's a little bit strange, but it's not the end of the world that such a thing, a person would want to do that. You want to copy your predecessor from a different tribe. five. Okay. Okay, now let's read some of the words inside. Let's read the Radak first. Okay, the Radak presents both the Radak and the Malbim. Let's read the Radak first. Binyamin Belobech. I don't know every single word, but let's just try the basic gist of the Radak. Yesh Mefarshim Ki Mibnei Yisachar Zeh. Who's Zeh? Ha ha. Look at that. Binyamin is not Shevet Binyamin. We're going to learn about Shevet Binyamin in the next chapter. Right. So this is... welcome. What happened to you? We missed you. We're asking about you yesterday. All the Sarshim and Hagim, we wanted to know what to do. Okay, we'll talk later. Yesh Mefarshim Ki Mibnei Yisachar Hu Zeh. Binyamin. This is from Shevet Binyamin. The Chol HaTolados Ad Bin Naftali. Everything that we're going to learn now until we get to Naftali, which pasuk? The pasuk Yud Gimel. So everything from Vav until pasuk Yud Gimel is all an extension of Shevet Yisachar. Okay? How do I know that? Because in the next perek, in perek ches, we're going to go to town. We're going to have a whole chapter devoted to Binyamin. After we learn about Osher in perek ches, we're going to learn about Binyamin. The yesh lefarish, however, there's another approach. The Radak is giving us the ki al Binyamin ben Yaakov hu oimer. The hisker hinek tzas hayachas. We're going to list here some. Uvacharoino, and in the next perek zohar od ad yachas shol hamelech yisrael. Now, why would you want to do that? So let's look right away in the Gra. The Gra says why we would want to do that. Bnei Becher, let me find it in the Gurab here. I've got Binyamin Bela, Kiluk Se Binyadel, who Eshwel, Choshav Khan, it's in the Dibra Maslow, Viadel, in Pasuk Vav, in the Gra, Viadel, who Ashbel, that's Ashbel mentioned in the Torah, okay? Choshav Khan, Nixas Bnei Binyamin, Hagiboyrim, because these are the warriors. The warriors, not the Talmud Eicham, the warriors. Lismach legibori chayil shel Yisachar. And now, the habilti gibarim, those that were not warriors, that were not fit for battle, not suited for battle, gibar mibnei binyamin choshev lekamon. So therefore, that's why we're breaking up binyamin. We're connecting the mighty warriors of Klai Yisrael from Shevet Yisachar. So once we're discussing the warriors, so we're going to Chaperayin and connect those from Shevet Binyamin, Binyamin ben Yaakov, who were also warriors, and we're going to connect them to Shevet Yisachar. And later we'll discuss the remainder of Shevet Binyamin who are not the warriors. So we have over here the Radak and the Gra. Now let's look at the Malbim. The Malbim says, I'm going to read very quickly because I don't know how to translate all the words. Binyamin, Ladash, Binyamin, Pasuk Vav in the Malbim. Okay, he says, Yimei Kedem. Ladash, Rav, Mepharshim, Hu, Binyamin, Ben Yaakov. Umilvad, Sheyifla. It's a pillar. A pillar. How could it be? It's a wonder. It's a wonder. Shehalo yichus binyamin nechsha b'sefer haba, meaning in sefer is the way he refers to the next parak, next chapter. V'lama hitziv. Why did he establish poes elu levad? Hine ma'asham ashebelo becher he b'nei binyamin haniska b'torah halo b'nei bela shechashiv lekamon niku sham shemos achmer. We'll see even later on they were called by different names. The names bela the name was changed. Or mishpachas becher loy niskar loy b'parshas pinchas and then he was. Not mentioned Parchas Pinchas Lola Kamon Ki Becher Meis Beloy Bani. We have a tradition that Becher died without children. The Eich Yaske Po Bnei Becher Umihu Yad Iel Shleniskar Loi B'Tev Loi Kamon. So Yad Iel is not really mentioned. That's what the Gra says. Yad Iel Hu Eshbol. He was known by two different names. Ashbel different names. Look at one. Umashama Rashi Shuhu Ashbel Haniska B'Torah Haloi Lekamon Koriosa B'Shem Ashbel. He's called by Eshbol Lama Yiklu Po Yad Iel. So therefore he presents all of the questions. It's not the right name, and we're going to learn about it later on. Something is very fishy here. So what's the real answer? The Alkain Ho'emes. I'm telling you the truth. Make no mistake about it, the Malam says. Forget about everything you've learned until now. Ho'emes ad la'atzma. What an expression. It's not enough just to say the emes. Ha'emes ad la'atzma in its own right is she'gam hu mibnei Yisachar. Like the second approach of the Radak, or the first approach of the Radak, They was all part of the children of Yisachar that we've mentioned. Look, go back to Pasuk Aleph in Perek Zayin, Ulmei Yisachar, Tola. Then there was Pua, Yashuv, and Shimron. So here they are. So we only gave honorable mention to the Bechor, to Tola. And then Uzi, the grandson, you can't forget about the other three children. It's not fair. So now we're going to tell you about the descendants of the other three children of Yisachar. Umusav lepasik akaidim shakol mishpachas Yisachar ha yeshiva ushmoinitz. Going back, the grand total was 87,000. The zeh his yachsam lakol rotzalemar yichusam milvad mibinyamin. We say 87. That does not include what we're going to now focus on from the other three branches of the family. The 87 just includes the branch of Tola, all of his descendants, which includes the 22,600 plus the 36,000 plus change. But there's going to be now three more branches, which had a descendant called Binyamin and had three sons. One is, and two, he happened to be coincidentally the same name as the sons of Binyamin, but we have a third son that's different. Ki hayam min habneyam ish shmo Binyamin mi oso nifridu bati avos rabos umas chilachshav yichuseyem she Binyamin hoilid shloisha banim bela ubechar diyadiel. It's a different one, different three children. When we call Echayatsu Rosh Beisavos Kmo Shechosh Bnei Dela. Okay, so we have here a beautiful different difference of opinion. We have, let's see the Rashi. Rashi we didn't do yet. Rashi Pasik Vav, is there Rashi on Pasik Vav? Let me find it. Okay, Binyamin Bela Bechar Zeh Shekar B'Sefer HaYashar. Look what I mentioned before to you. Sefer HaYashar. Okay, it's the same Rashi, and before he says B'Chumash. And here he says, "B'sefer Hayashar." He's referring to Chumash Bereishis, Sefer Hayashar. That's one of three opinions, because others know that Devarim is called Sefer Hayashar, or Shoftim is Sefer Hayashar. Ashbel. Okay, so we have over here two Mahalchim to explain this section of what we're going through now, from Vav all the way down to the end until we get to Bnei Naftali. Let's just do maybe one or two Mubsuk, then we'll stop. Uvnei Bela. So now, after we discuss, we mentioned that Bnei Yamin has three sons. Who is the first son? We have Uvnei Vela, Etzpon, the Uzi, the Uziel, the Rimos, the Iri. That's an important name. Iri, we're going to come back to again. We have to remember that this is going to be a grandson of this person, Binyamin Iri. He's going to be the most prominent. Chamisha, a grand total of five. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So notice that we're not counting in this pasuk, we're not counting the father. The father is not part of the team. All of them were Roshe Beis Avos, Gibore Chayolim, Vehis Yachsam, and their total number was Eshrim Ushnayim Aleph. Similar, it's very interesting, 22,000, but not 600, 22,000, Ushloshim Yarbo, and 34. Now we go to Bech, now we go to the second son. We first from Yaches Bela. Bela had five sons. Now we go to the second son of Binyamin, Uvnei Becher. Was Zimira, the Yoyosh, the Eliezer, the Elio Einai, the Amri, the Ramos, the Aviyah, the Anasos. That's a city. Anasos is a city, and the famous city of Anos, which was named after this person, he built the city, obviously. That's what the Malbum says, or the Radak says. The Lomes, Kol Eilu B'nei Vecher. Notice they don't give a number, too many to count. So here it doesn't say the number. Before it said five, it said three. Here it just says these were his children. The his yachsam listolid osam, and their yichus based upon their lineage and their genealogy. Roshe based avosam gibor choyel. What was the total number when including their children, tracing themselves back to their fathers, was Eshrim Elif, 20,000, almost 7,200. Now, Uvnei Yediael, who, now we go to Yediael. So we're going to the third son. He was Bilhan, that one son. And who was Bilhan's son? Uvnei Bilhan was Yeush, period, and Uvin Yamin. So you see that it wasn't so uncommon to name a person by the name Binyamin. He had a son, two sons, Yehusha bin Yamin, the Ehud, Uche Na'ana, the Zeison, the Sarshish, the Achi Shochad, Kol Eila bin Yedi Ael, the Rosh Havos, Gibor Chayolim. How much? In this branch of the family, the third branch of the family, of Binyamin, Shiva Asa Elef, 70,000, Mosheim 200, Yotze Tzava La Milchama. Okay, we'll stop. Let's just do the Rash, the Rash, we'll stop with that, because the next.
147,000.
You counted the numbers? Yeah.
147.
So what's the exact number? Okay, you have to count.
Not exactly.
There's
a
147 or 148. Do you top off 148? You end up all the fractions, because 148, we mentioned before, is a very interesting number. 148 is the gematria of Pesach. That was the number in the riddle, in the kinnis. 148. Okay, you have to end up the numbers close to 148. 148. What? So 148 is a very important number in Jewish thought. It is the gematria of Pesach. Pesach is our starting point in Klal Yisrael. That's a critical number. Let's see the mitzudos to these psukim. There is, starting with pasuk vav, Binyamin zayachas mibnei Binyamin v'siachsam asrim l'mispar hazeh hoya sifrei yichusam v'siachsam rasolamer rosh ha'avos hoya l'ham sifrei yichusam l'solodosam imam gibori chay l'mispar esrim elef amasam yol had yichus briefs l'rosh ha'avos rasolamer hima hoya l'rosh ha'avos migdibori chay l'shiv asar b'nei iri. That is pasuk yibetz. Okay, so that concludes pretty much Binyamin. Whether Binyamin is going to be part of Yisachar, or Binyamin is going to be the Giborim that were attached to Yisachar. Okay, we're going to stop here. Now, Pasuk Yudbeis is a very mysterious Pasuk, which we'll leave Mirtz Hashem for tomorrow. Yeah.
Would it be practical for Sukkim Vav through Yudbeis, all that, the respective one of the previous two words, Hisyak Sam Vakol? They had Yiddish for all of them before. Why not all of them? Now they give it to everybody.
Well, it does. It does say that from pasuk vav to pasuk yud aleph. It does say independently that each family had their own yichus. Look at the pasuk tes. This yachsam l'soladosam. Each family did have their own yichus.
Yeah, but the point is, because they all had
yichus. We just emphasize this point after we conclude mentioning each individual family.
Right.
They all had their own independent yichus records. Okay, let's do